Praise the Lord. If we could just stand to our feet this afternoon as we go before the Lord and we lift our voices to Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I pray that You would just come into this place, Lord, this afternoon as we just lift Your wonderful name on high, God. God, I pray that lives would be changed today, Jesus, that we would open our hearts to You, Lord. Open our hearts to Your Word, Jesus, and Your presence that's going to be here in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, come into this place and have Your way. In Jesus' name, amen. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come and longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless Your heart. I'll bring You more. I'll bring You more than a song, for a song in itself is not what You have required. Oh Jesus, You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, You're looking into my heart. Oh, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the heart worship, and it's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about You, it's all about You, Jesus. It's all about You. Oh, we lift Your name on high, King of endless work, King of endless work. No one could express how much You deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, and all I have is Yours, every single breath. Oh, I'll bring You more than a song, for a song in itself is not what You have required. Oh, Jesus, You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things when it's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about You, it's all about You, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we need You, Lord. Can we just lift our hands and close our eyes and just, let's just ask the Lord to just help us today to focus on Him. Yes, Jesus. Lord, we need You, Jesus. It's all about You, Lord. Oh, it's all about You. Just sing, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Jesus, God, continue to give that to him right now. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Oh, God Almighty, hallelujah, Jesus. God, hallelujah. That song has so much impact on what we need to actually do. It touches my heart that this worship team actually sung that. Because truthfully, without God being at the center of everything that I've gone through, I wouldn't be up here today. I wouldn't even be in this building right now. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, God Almighty. Oh, God. Truthfully, we must thank him for everything that we have today. Amen. The fact that we are able to come into an assembly and continue to bless him, continue to thank him for everything that he has done, the unanswered prayers that we have, that we have given to him, who knows if those will actually be answered, but at the same exact time, God has it all in control. Amen. Amen. Continue to pray for everything that is going on in this world right now. I know there's a lot of chaos and misunderstanding of what's going on, but at the same exact time, God is still in control at the end of the day. Anything that is unspoken, just continue to lift that up to him. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray right now. Lord Jesus, God Almighty, we thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in this house right now, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that this word, Lord God, that you bring forth towards us today, Lord God, stretch beyond these walls, Lord Jesus, that you continue to fill this house with your spirit, Lord Jesus, God Almighty, that you continue, Lord God, to do miracles in this house right now, that you continue to bring people forth towards you, Lord God. Jesus, God Almighty, give them the understanding, Lord God, that they need, Lord Jesus, God Almighty. Let the seed grow in their hearts, Lord God. Grow in their minds, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. That they continue to turn back to it when they need to, Lord Jesus. Let all depression be crushed, Lord God. Let all addiction be ceased, Lord Jesus, God Almighty. We pray, God Almighty, that you continue, Lord Jesus, to help us as we go about our days. Let the words we speak, Lord Jesus, be your words, Lord God. We pray, Lord Jesus, God Almighty, that you continue to help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may step forth and worship at this time, Lord God. Hallelujah.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. Come on, sing how great and how great. is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great is our God. The lion and the lamb, oh, how great, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Oh, yes, He's a name above. He's a name above all names. You are worthy. You are worthy of all praise. Yes, in my heart and my how great is our God. Come on, sing the name above all names. He is, He's a name above all. Oh, yes, Jesus, You are worthy. How great and how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. Oh, how great, how great is our God.
He is great. He is mighty. He is strong. Right now we're going to do our collection for the offering. But first, happy birthday, Sister Gwen. Belated 29th birthday. Hallelujah. She made another trip around the sun. Thank you, Jesus. Could you all return to your seats? Our Father has cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need a dime from us. He has all the gold, all the silver. In Malachi 3:10 through 12, he says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before that time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Yes. He doesn't need a dime we have, but he will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. How many times have you had troubles in your life? This may be a small thing. Do your tithes, do your offerings, and be blessed. It's a great and wonderful thing. I've noticed it in my life, and I'm sure most of you have too. One other thing, Isaiah 60:17. The Lord wants to bless us. He says, "For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood I will bring brass, and for stones I will bring iron. I will make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no longer be heard in thy land, nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise." Who doesn't need all that? Amen. Gold is $3,400 an ounce. You want to give him some $3 brass and get $3,400 in exchange? Follow what the Lord has to say. So, anyway, without further ado, we have offering plates in the front and a nice young lady back there collected in the rear. We'll pray over the offering. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We ask that you bless this offering. Let it go to the four corners of the earth. Do your work as you would have it to do, in Jesus' name. You may come forward. Thank you.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, when
God, his son, not sparing, send him to die. My scars can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Oh, then sings my shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart when I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
amen. Has God been good to you?
Amen.
Then why don't we praise him for about 15 seconds of how good he has been. He is a great God. His name is Jesus, and he is worthy of our praises. You can be seated this afternoon. The children and teachers that are going downstairs, you can be dismissed at this time. I want to say thank you to everybody for being here. I want to say a special thank you. It's nice to see many of our Ashtabula members beginning to take part in the service. I was really excited to see Brother Dan take up the offering. I think he did a fantastic job. Our worship team did a fantastic job. I, too, want to say happy birthday to Sister Gwendolyn. I've never seen her smile that big when he said 29 and holding. She got a very big smile on her face. God can do miraculous things. It's good to be here. It's good to see everyone. I want to thank everybody. We're coming out of our family week. We had a fantastic picnic on Wednesday. The weather was perfect. The fellowship was great. The food was good. I want to thank everybody that had a part in that. I appreciate people's efforts, and I see people putting effort in, and I want you to know that I appreciate it. My wife appreciates it very much. We had a fantastic time. When we were driving home, we were so encouraged, so thank you for all of that. We are doing another outing coming up. It's coming up quickly. My wife announced it last week. She asked me if I would announce it as well. At Sissons, I believe is how you say it. I'm not sure if that's correct. But it's a pumpkin patch farm-type outing in Girard, Pennsylvania on Springfield Road. We're going to go there as a church on Saturday the 27th around 5 o'clock. We'll have a fire pit area that they've designated for us. There's things for the kids to do. The reason I'm announcing it is my wife put up a sign-up sheet this afternoon. The money to go is due next Sunday, the 21st. If we have 20 people go, it will be $10 a person and $5 a person for seniors. So we want everyone to go. Use this as outreach. Invite your friends. Invite your family. Have them come have a good time. And I do want to announce this. Anyone that would want to sponsor for a young child or a family that may be struggling financially to go, you can see myself or see my wife with that. We just need to know that we're going to have at least 20 people going because that gets us a special rate to get in. But remember that the money will be due next Sunday, and then the event itself will be Saturday the 27th. My wife also wanted me to announce. I told her she should do these announcements, but she's like, you do them better. They had their first ladies' Bible study yesterday here at the church. My wife was very excited about it. She came home and talked about it, but she wanted me to announce the second one will be October the 11th at 10 a.m. Again, if you have any questions, you can see my wife about those questions, but it will be 10 a.m. I do not believe it will be here at the church because we have a wedding that day. I'm performing a wedding here at the church, so I believe, don't quote me on this again, ask my wife, I believe she's going to have it at our house. But that will be the 11th of October. All the ladies are invited. It will be at 10 a.m. If you guys go long, I'll just have to hang around after the wedding here and stay at the church all afternoon, I guess. But if you'd like to go, my wife would be excited about that. See her. And then this announcement I know will make all of our ladies excited, more so maybe than the Bible study and the pumpkin patch outing. Lord willing, the plan is tomorrow we are going to start the renovation of the ladies' bathroom to improve the stalls so they're more private for the ladies that need to use the restroom. I told people that'd probably be the loudest clap or amen that I got the whole service this afternoon. So that's Lord willing. I'm meeting with the contractor tomorrow to get, we've already met to get started on that. So I'm sure if we come in Wednesday and we kind of can't use it, we may have to use the men's, and you know, but we'll take care of that at the time. I'm hoping that it can get done relatively quickly, depending on what we get into once we get in there. But Lord willing, we're going to start that tomorrow, and I'm excited about that. Also, within, it should be a short space of time, we have ordered the new entrance door that will be being installed very soon. So I want to thank everyone that gave in our seed offering. We are going to start to see those things take place in our sanctuary, and I'm excited about it. So thank you all for that. If you have your Bibles and will turn with me, I want to read one verse of scripture in your hearing this afternoon to take a scripture kind of idea of what I want to talk to you for a short time this afternoon about. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20, and I'm going to read one verse from verse number 9 of Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9 says this, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin?" It's a question. It's a great question. The scripture says, who can say that I have made my heart clean and I am pure from my sin? This afternoon, I want us all to really consider this question. Can any of us truly state this afternoon that our heart is clean and that we are pure from sin? To take it a step further, can any of us state that I have made my heart clean and I have made myself pure from sin? As we pray over this message, I want you to consider that question. Who can say, I have made my heart clean and I am pure from my sin? Let's bow our heads. We can put our Bibles on. I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing upon this message. Lord Jesus, God, we appreciate your love, your concern for us, and your presence that is in this place this afternoon. God, we ask that you have preeminence in the remainder of this service. We ask for your anointing upon myself. Anoint my lips that I can deliver your word under the unction of your spirit, that it would not return again unto you void, but accomplish its purpose here in this sanctuary. Bless every heart and every soul that has assembled themselves here to worship your name. We love you. We appreciate you. We ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus, and we can all agree by saying amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated in the house of God this afternoon. I want to be completely transparent with you before we get into the Word of God. I want to talk to you about a specific topic today I want to stay on track. I don't want to get sidetracked and go down a rabbit hole or get off on a tangent anywhere, because I want to be transparent before we get started. This week, my emotions have been messed up. My mind has been completely unfocused. My heart has been completely unsteady. The combination of three events and my decision to focus my attention on them has helped my emotions, my mind, and my heart to experience the week that I've experienced. Just to be completely transparent, the three events that have shook me emotionally to my core are the death of a 23-year-old Irina Zarutska, who is a Ukrainian woman who died on a bus in Charlotte. The death of 31-year-old Charlie Kirk in Utah, which I saw with my own eyes and wish that I hadn't. And the 24th anniversary of September 11th have impacted me this week. I don't like weeks like this. I don't like experiencing events that cause my emotions and my thoughts to become so raw. I try with everything in me, as a man, and more importantly, as a man of God, to control my emotions. This week, my emotions controlled me. I've learned as a Christian that in these rare moments of uncertainty, that my only righteous option is to turn to the Scripture for guidance. I need to do all that I can to hold my peace and my tongue until I search the Word of God for instruction and wisdom as to know how I am to proceed. I'm a work in progress. Sometimes when my emotions get the best of me, my mouth speaks before I allow my heart to be settled. That has happened this week. My goal this afternoon is to do just that, to search the Word of God for instruction and wisdom as to how we need to proceed. As Christians, our focus and our mission is for us to become Christ-like. My mission this afternoon, and the title for what I want to speak to you about for the next few moments, is a Christ-like response. A Christ-like response. Now keep in mind what I've just said. This message comes from a place of what has taken place in this country this week. I would give you pastoral counsel that if you have not seen the videos of the two instances that I spoke about, or if by some chance you haven't seen very many videos of the September 11th attack in 2001, I would suggest that you don't watch them. We were at our picnic on Wednesday. It had already taken place. I had pulled out my phone, which again, just a side note, is 95% of all of our issues. I was following a pastor on social media, and before I knew it, I had just watched the video of the assassination of Charlie Kirk from a camera that was about from me to Brother Troy. First-hand video. You don't want to see it. We've become a nation that has seen so many things that we should never see, that our spiritual senses have become numb. Our immediate reaction is to respond. And most of our response is not Christ-like. I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm telling you, as Christians, our desire should be to have a Christ-like response. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. This is going to be a little bit different than what you're used to from my delivery, because we're going to read almost this entire chapter of Luke 23. It will be almost all of the scripture text that we use, but I want to give you Christ's response. Luke chapter 23. Follow along with me if you have your Bibles. If you don't, they'll be on the screens. And Brother Carl, I'll just let you know, I'm going to kind of just read and I'll stop. You can just keep me right there and I'll try to pick up right where we left off. Thank you for your patience. Luke 23 and 1 says this, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Verse number 5. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people. He's teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also at Jerusalem at this time." The reason Herod and Pilate were in Jerusalem was for the Passover. They were there not because they were Jews. They were there because so many Jews had gathered that their presence militarily would squash any kind of uprising. So when Pilate finds out in verse 7, as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also at Jerusalem at the time. Verse number 8, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Verse number 9, then he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. Jesus has been taken captive. Jesus is a prisoner. The Sanhedrin court, which was the deciding legal and religious body of the Jews at the time, are the multitude that have taken him to Pilate and have now taken him to Herod. And Herod begins to question him, and Jesus says nothing. He doesn't speak up. He doesn't say a word in his defense. He stands there. Remember, we're talking about a Christ-like response. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. You know what the word vehemently means? They went right in his face. You ever get into an argument and the person won't argue back and it makes you even more mad? Any of you married? Any of you ever ask your husband to care about something and he just doesn't care and it makes you care more? You understand what vehemently means. you vehemently ask him, and he still says, still don't care. And you get more vehement, okay? Verse number 11, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Verse number 12, and the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Do you realize that there are evil forces that are coming against the children of God? They have nothing in common other than their hatred of the name of Jesus. Other than that, they hate each other. But the hatred that they have for each other is less than their hatred for the name of Jesus. But let me be very clear. I am not talking about people. The Bible says clearly, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and spirits of wickedness and darkness in high places. There is spiritual evil in this world aligning itself against those that call upon the name of Jesus. We have got to be aware of that. That day, Pilate and Herod became friends and were enemies before that. Verse 13, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. Pilate says the second time, I find no fault in this man. He goes on in verse 15 to say, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. He says, I didn't find anything wrong, and Herod didn't find anything wrong. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for as of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast of the Passover. Verse 18, and they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Do you realize what's going on? I just told you, and I got amens, that there's spiritual wickedness taking place in this world. There's evil aligning itself against those that call themselves the children of God. And those forces wanted to let Jesus go. And his own cried, give us Barabbas. His earthly brothers and sisters, his kinfolk, those of his nation, those that were of the house of Israel, cried all at once, saying, away with this man and release unto us Barabbas. Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Excuse me. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again unto them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. It was not Pilate's idea to crucify Jesus. It was his own, the high priest, the Sanhedrin, those that were his fellow countrymen, cried, crucify him. Verse 22, and he said unto them, say this with me, the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. and they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, and he delivered Jesus to their will. I want you to understand two things before we move on. Jesus has not said a single word. He's in the audience while this is happening. He's standing there as Pilate, Herod, the chief priest, and the scribes are battling vehemently over his demise, over his ultimate sentence, and he doesn't say a word. He doesn't say a thing. He doesn't post anything on Facebook. He doesn't text, he doesn't tweet, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't get a bunch of people on his side, he doesn't collect his own team, he doesn't retire to his echo chamber where people only say what you want to hear. He doesn't say a word. Ultimately, the voices of the chief priests prevail, and Pilate delivers Jesus unto them. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus turning unto them, he turns unto the women that are wailing and lamenting. They're crying. They're losing their minds. They're screaming because their Savior is being led to his death. For the first time we hear Jesus speak, Jesus turns unto them and says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" Jesus looks at these women who are bewailing and moaning and crying, "Please don't do this. Please don't do this." Was there anyone here on Wednesday? Was there anyone here this Tuesday or this Monday that went to your Facebook to enjoy another day of wasting 3 hours looking at videos of people getting scared by their cats? And you scroll down a little too far, and you watched a 23-year-old Ukrainian girl sitting in a bus and watched the man behind her stand up on video and stab her directly and watch her bleed out in a bus while there were people sitting 3 feet from her that watched this happen and did nothing. She looks down, sees her wound, begins to cry. Most video experts say they don't even believe that she knew what happened. She slumps down into her seat, falls to the floor, blood all over the seat, and there's men and women, adults, sitting right in the bench next to her that do absolutely nothing, and she dies on the floor of the bus. When I saw that, I cried. I said, "My God, How far have we, where are, what are we? Who have we become? Not some third world nation. Not where we go do missionary work because we feel that they've never heard the gospel. Charlotte, North Carolina. Where we go on vacation. This woman was a Ukrainian who fled the violence of her country and died in a bus. And I cried. I got angry. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to respond. I wanted to say, well, we got to be pro-Second Amendment. We've got to have stand-your-ground laws. We've got to vote politicians this. We've got to do this. We've got to pass this law. We've got to train up our children. We shouldn't be on public transit. We should carry pepper spray. We should always be aware of our surroundings. We should never go out into public alone. All of those thoughts went through my mind. All of the fear, all of the anger, all of the bitterness, all of the sadness. Jesus is being led up a hill as God in flesh. He knows what is about to happen. And he hears women behind him wailing, please don't kill him. Please don't kill him. Please, that's our Savior. His mother was in that crowd. And he turned and he looked at him and he said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. Weep for yourselves. Weep for your children, because if they do this in a dry season, if they do this when things are great, the Bible says, what will you do in the end thereof? Let's keep reading. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. I want you to picture that scene. There's women going crazy. There's the people of Herod, the people of Pilate, that we already know they put on a robe. It says a gorgeous robe. And they began to mock him, men of war. They questioned him and yelled at him vehemently. He's been up all night. He hasn't eaten. He's gone through an illegal trial. They found him guilty illegally, even by their own laws. They've sentenced him to death. They drug him up a hill. They pled one, Simon of Cyrene, to carry his cross because he wasn't able to carry it. And now they get to the top of the hill. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, the two thieves, one on right hand and the other on the left hand. Verse 34. Then said Jesus, he speaks again. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's talking about the soldiers that literally just drove spikes through his hands and through his feet. He prays, Father, forgive them. Their response They parted his raiment and cast lots. Let me give you the translated version. They stripped him naked and gambled for his clothes right at the foot of the cross. I don't know this by scripture, but it's just my own ideas. They're under the cross, gambling for his garment, and I could almost picture his blood dripping on them. Forgiveness. In death, Jesus' focus was always other people. He told the women, don't weep for me. Weep for your children. He said, forgive them, Father. They don't even know what they're doing. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him, they derided him, saying, he saved others, himself. Let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. I want this picture in your mind. Jesus is dying, hung between heaven and earth. On his right hand and on his left hand, there's a malefactor. There's a thief. One of the malefactors during the crucifixion, as they're being mocked. Crucifixion wasn't a quick way to die. It was torture. And it was meant not only for those that were dying, it was meant as a deterrent to those that were watching. The Romans did this to the Jews to keep them in line. They said, you want to get out of line? You're next. They would leave them up for weeks on end to let the birds devour the bodies so that when opposing armies would come by, they would rethink what they were trying to do. And during this scene, they're gambling at his feet for his... Jesus is naked. It's not what you've seen in the movies. It's not the picture that you have in your kitchen. They stripped him of his garments in front of his mother and murdered him naked, made fun of him while they were doing it, said they spat upon him, deriding him as the soldiers gamble at his feet. And Jesus' response is, Father, forgive them. One of the malefactors, verse 39, which was hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other person answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, he speaks again, and says, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The whole scene, Jesus' only words, his only response is for others. He forgives the ones who did the very act. And he tells those bemoaning his death, don't cry for me. Now I want to ask you, I want to go back to our opening text. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to take the heat off of you. I'm going to tell you as your pastor, my heart is not clean. and I am not pure from my sin. Because my response this week, when I was in situations far less imposing than what my Savior went through, my reaction was not Christ-like. I want to read you Jesus' own words, Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. Read these with me. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. I'm going to wrap this up because I believe everything in me this week and what transpired in our nation is a seminal moment for the church. Our political affiliation means nothing when we stand before God. I'm going to say some things and you're going to have to get upset with me. If we make it, it's not going to be because of how active we are in the community. It's not going to be because of our thoughts and our understanding of the things of this world. It's not going to be because of our influence and our impact that we have. There's one thing that you can take out of this life that you didn't come in with, and it's the Holy Ghost. It's the only thing that matters. And the first step, the church is going to have to become the church again. And we're going to have to begin to teach again what our apostolic forefathers taught. And their first step was repentance. Not so much, I forgive you, but God, will you forgive me? I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me. When your emotions get all mixed up, when you don't know what to do, when you don't know where to go, when your mind starts to wander off, when you're on that phone and you start going down that rabbit hole that you don't want to go down, but somehow that thing lures you down in there, when you begin to watch or see things that you know that you're not supposed to watch or see, and I'm not talking about sin and evil, I'm talking about things that just cause your mind to become desensitized of the things of God, you need to pause, you need to go to the Word of God. You need to shut your mouth. You need to shut off your iPad, your television, your phone, and you need to speak to God. But more importantly, you need to let Him speak to you. Amen. So here's the Christ-like response that I want to talk to you about. I believe as a church body, I believe as a family, I believe as a cohesive unit, not as individuals, we need to ask God's forgiveness today. We need to put our heart before God. We need to ask God to make me clean. I'm not praying for Sister Darlene today. And I'm not praying for Sister Crystal today. And I'm not praying for Brother Troy today. So you don't need to come up and ask me to lay hands on you. You don't need to come up and lay your hands on anybody. What you need to do and what I need to do is we as individuals, as men and women, the children are downstairs. This is the adult class. We need to be bold enough to come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Jesus, forgive me. If you think this week is bad, you better get right with God. We've believed for so long all this nonsense that's not scriptural, that before the Lord comes back, you're not going to know summer from winter. Whoever told you that didn't get out of the first book of the Bible. You need to turn YouTube off and quit listening to denominational preachers and get your heart right with God. You need to stop allowing your ears to be a dumpster for all of the trash that is being thrown across the airwaves by people that don't know who Jesus is. Get bold all you want. Stand up all you want. Square your shoulders all you want. Be hyperbolic all you want. Jesus Christ, as Pastor R. Derry said this morning, is not an American. The Bible says he could. We can't. We think we can. We think we're bigger and tougher than we are. The Bible says he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called legions and legions of angels. He told them, he said, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my children fight. But my kingdom is not of this world. You want to stand for God? The best way to do it is to fall on your face and ask him to forgive you of your sins. So I'm going to ask you, I ain't going to make you, it ain't in my heart. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you. My emotions are still so mad. I don't like being like this. I hate feeling like this. My humanity, my carnality wants more. I want to figure out the angle of the bullet to find out if it was a lone gunman or if it's part of the deep state, when all the while God's saying, why don't you just fall on your knees and make sure your soul is okay with me? I want to do all the research and find out how this young man got radicalized. And Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want us as a church family this afternoon to come to this altar, to these front pews, and find a place to pray. I want us together to pray for forgiveness. I want us as a church to ask Jesus Christ to make our hearts clean, to make us pure from our sin. I really, truly want us together to focus on repentance and seeking God's face. I want us to seek his face as a church family. I want us to ask for forgiveness. I don't want us to pray for one another. I don't want to take up an offering. I don't want to sing any songs. I want us to pray. And I want us to pray like we don't normally pray. I want tears to flow. I want you to say, God, clean my heart. God, forgive me. God, make sure we're okay. Talk to God. Talk to God. Open your mouth and talk to God. Repent to stay. Ask Him for forgiveness. He is nigh unto those of a repentant heart. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, 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 Jesus.
sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Oh, holy and holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. And holy, holy, holy is the God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. And holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, and at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. And holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. And holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. King of Kings, you are my everything, and I will adore you. And holy, holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Those that are praying can continue to pray. I again want to thank everyone for being here. I appreciate your effort, your intentions. I think instead of a dismissal prayer today, it would be appropriate, because I believe some of us have truly poured our hearts out to God. But I think the most Christ-like response that we could give before we leave this place is if we decide with a clean heart to go to our brother and sister that is in this building, that you may have aught with, and make things right today. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I think a Christ-like response. I'm not here to put you on the spot. I don't want you to have to be first. I don't want you to be concerned about what other people are thinking. But I think after a prayer that we've just prayed, where we've asked God to clean our hearts and to make our spirit right, I think it would behoove us to make sure that we don't leave this place without going to our brother and sister, asking their forgiveness, and granting forgiveness to them. In Jesus' name, I hope you have a great day. Remember, this Wednesday, our Bible study time will change from 7 to 6. It will be the first time that we've done that. It is a permanent change, and you're all invited out for that. Have a great day. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Don't leave this place without responding like Christ would.